Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Do your daily practice cultivate an attitude that encourages and supports the practitioner? Throughout the day, each time you hear a negative message, turn attention to encouragement. Pick up the recorder to offer an encouraging message to the practitioner. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Oh, aloha. This is Melody from Hawaii.
Well, aloha, Melody. What are you seeing?
Well, I have to tell you, this has been a journey. I don't know how hard conditioning has made it for me to participate. It's just like a whole huge thing. But I've been here the
yes.
whole time.
Yes, it is a whole huge thing. Yes.
I know.
And this is your first time calling in, yeah?
This year. I've gotten in the queue a few times. And but this is the first time, and I didn't know I was going to make it today. Oh, thank you.
Well, welcome.
Yes. It's, I just made a little recording, and that helped me just to get in the queue. But I felt like I'm participating. I'm doing assignments. I'm listening. But it just hasn't, conditioning hasn't allowed me to talk. And
well, here's the thing.
So mad.
Yes, exactly. Oh, thank you for that, because that's exactly what we want to do. Not get defeated, not get discouraged, not, you know, but just get up on our hind legs and say no. But the thing that is most telling for me about all of this is that you made a recording in order to get present enough and kind of the marshal the gumption, right, which is what we're doing with this, to say no to conditioning. I'm going to participate. So it's working,
yeah,
isn't it?
That was helpful. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, because, again, what that system would want to say is, you've been here all year? And this is all you've participated? Come on. What a waste of time and money that was.
Well, that's where it got me. It's like, I don't know, you know, I'm part of it, the group, but I'm really not. And then you just stay in your comfort zone. And then after the call, you'll start feeling bad that you didn't participate, mm-hmm. and it just goes on and on and makes it the biggest mm-hmm. deal, where actually mm-hmm. it's not a big deal. I just have to open the door and do it.
That's right. That's exactly right, which you have done.
Which I did.
Yeah, yeah. And again, just for anybody else who's listening in and believing those voices and stuck in that place, making that recording first is huge. Whatever it is that we want to do that the voices are getting us about, we make that recording first, and we have stepped out of that dualistic world of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. We're here. We're present. We have everything we need to do whatever we want to do, and we just go ahead and do it. So thank you. Very inspiring.
Oh, you're welcome. So
now it'll be interesting to hear what they try to do when you get off of this call, right? Go ahead. What were you saying?
You know, that's exactly what I was going to say, because I've been through the day, because I'm on the Forever Retreat, and we've been working with writing down every time conditioning gets you through the day. I've been practicing that, and I'm, you know, and this is probably an exercise that's been most helpful for me to see how much that happens during the day and what terrible things it's telling me. And
it's awful. It's awful.
Yeah.
What a pack of lies. And because of that other retreat, I know that you have a 10-year-old granddaughter who's in that your relationship with her has been transformed by this practice, and lucky, lucky little girl that is, and that's one of the places I project that you've got to, which is, what if those voices were saying those kinds of things to her? Oh my God. I mean, we would do anything to keep that from happening. And so, well, they're saying it to Melody. So let's stop that too, right?
She doesn't deserve
that either. She deserves her life as much as that little girl deserves her life. So, good job.
Right. Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Mahalo.
Sanka.
Mahalo and
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Aloha. Ahui no.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Melody. And so that's so apt, Sherry, right? Our assignment is appreciating the practitioner. And
yes.
We need to appreciate the practitioner, given that.
First, appreciate.
Yes. Because the hero is that person who is willing to do what it takes in order to liberate the human being.
Yes. It's that quote by that Catholic saint. I can never remember the saint or really the quote, but I love it. And it's first love and then do whatever. I think mm-hmm. it's actually in that tradition, first love God mm-hmm. and then do whatever. Mm-hmm. But first love. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be fine with mm-hmm. whatever follows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
It's Phil. Oh, perfectly well, Phil. What are you seeing?
Oh, good. Oh, this is great. And at St. Augustine, by the way.
St. Augustine. All right, good.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I heard your voice, I knew you'd know. Our authority on all things Catholic.
Right. Well, not quite, but anyhow, I knew that one. Yeah. Well, that was a great conversation, and I kind of have the same thing going on. Let's see. What do I want to say? All right. So, I love this part of the retreat. I love all of the month. You know, but I love mm-hmm. this part. And mm-hmm. So yesterday, of course, was support, and I do that all the time with the Forever Retreat, and also with writing the love letters and all this, and it's pretty familiar. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, what was so interesting? All right, so I read the class and these in particular you have to do, you know, you do at the end of the day to see how
mm-hmm.
you're
mm-hmm.
how you've done it during the day.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I, you know, I wrote it down in my notebook and stuff, but not the answer, of course, because I had to go through the day. And as soon as I started out, you know, sitting there, started with maybe even before I meditated, but there was this, and they weren't voices, but I realized that innuendo would be the best word for it. There's these innuendos of like voices that you can't hear, but they're there. And,
it's a their sensations, their feelings, but you know what they mean. Yep, I'm right with you.
Yeah, and it might have even been an invisible, like most of the time the voices mm-hmm. are real, you know, if they come, they're loud, they're blabby, and you like, it's like, oh, give me a break, you know. But these were mysterious, like, you know, that I could almost hear them, but I couldn't. And then,
whispering.
Deep in, yeah. And mm-hmm. It was so good because before they could even start up, because if they did, because these were very pointed. I mean, these were the kind of gut-wrenching for whatever reason they were going for the, kill. I could go right to, and I saw it coming. And here to me is the beauty of awareness practice, because if I weren't practicing awareness, I would never notice that they were so quiet,
that's eyebrow,
you know?
Yep. And what it reminds me of, Bill, is dimming. You know, light dims gradually, and we don't even notice it, but the light dimming is sending a signal to the system that we're not aware of until it things move to the point where suddenly we go, oh, is it dimmer? Is it dimmer than it was? Yeah. And that's the process that, to me, that you're describing with conditioning, right? It's so gradual. It's so subterranean that if you weren't right there, it could do its damage and you would never know that it happened until, as you indicate, it got extreme enough that you would be positioned such that when the blabby, blathery, loud voices came in, you would buy it because you were already put into the place where you were open to those negative messages. So you're right.
Yes.
That is a tremendous commercial for an awareness practice that has us here, if not all the time, at least most of the time.
Yes, and then the continual practice of support and appreciation and everything for the practitioner, because as soon as I started, I can't even say hearing that, but feeling it, it was like, okay, Phil, this is, and it was so good that
get that recorded.
Yes. And then when I couldn't, it was just like, you're fine, Phil. You're fine. You know, it's
get here.
Love you unconditionally. Yeah, just be here.
Yep.
And then as the day went on, because they didn't get any foothold, it eventually evaporated. They gave up, I guess.
Yes.
It just stopped.
That's right.
I noticed later on in the day nothing like that was happening.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
And then we say, oh, thank you. And as soon as possible, grab that recorder and make a recording that it doesn't solidify, because God knows we're not going for that, but deepens that awareness such that it becomes a part of our practice on a regular basis. All right.
Yeah, and I did that night. Yeah. So thank you for this fabulous practice. You and Shweni and Alfonga and all of us, man, we are so lucky.
We are so lucky. Yeah. Because those of us who have been around for a while, we're aware that for many, many people, as the years go by, life doesn't really get better.
Yeah.
And for us, it does. With every day of practice, life gets better. Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go happy.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Thanks, Phil. What a wonderful conversation, Terry. It to me the what the Buddha taught, that we have to practice till the day we die.
Yes.
In that, it's so beautiful because it doesn't matter how much practice we have under our belt, if we're not here, we're not here. And that force.
Well stated, yeah.
And it's such a myth that somehow or the other, once we know what takes us from being here, is going to cease. That belief in conditioning of the sameness of things, that there's a static way life can be when it isn't that way, that we constantly paying attention. Because life is attention on awareness in every moment. It's not something that we escape into a state of unchanging. That is
permanent.
Yeah, that's a direct contradiction to how life is.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah. And to me, the difference that both Melody and Phil were pointing at is we want to be here.
Yes.
Right? We're not vulnerable to a conversation that says, well, yeah, but you're not, and you should be, and how long have you been practicing, and this isn't working. You know, we don't fall for that because I want to be here. It's what I want to have my attention on all the time, and I'm learning to do that.
And that being the salient point, that it's not a permanent state that I have to acquire and check a box that I've done it. It's knowing that this is where I want to live, I'm doing everything to get back here. And it's not wrong that the attention oscillates.
That's right. No. No. That's how, it's a, what do you call it, a rheostat? Is that what's turning the lights up?
I don't
know. Is that
know.
That little round thing on the wall that you, the dimmer switch, and we're turning the dimmer switch toward brighter, brighter, brighter. You have no idea how bright it might get.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Michael in California.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, Sherry.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing everything. Everything has been so good this morning, I almost don't know where to start. And And yes, I think it is the rheostat that turns the energy up.
Michael, I just got to stop and underline that. That is practice right there, right? I'm trying to come up with this quote, and we get Sister Phil on there to, you know, and then, truly, Michael, as I was sitting here, I thought, the next caller is going to know if that's what that was. And there you come, and you did know. I just love it.
Yes.
We are so cared for.
Yes, we are. And to me, that points to that there's so much tremendous support here in practice, you know, which is a metaphor for life. And it's interesting because I've been talking to my teenage sons, and I hear myself say that the most important skill in life is to ask for help, to be able to go out and ask for help. And as I say that now, what I see is participation. That participation is the way to life, and you know, with today's assignment of appreciating the practitioner, I want to be asking for help all the time in every way.
Yes,
and you know, participation is the way to do that and to learn.
Yes.
And this idea that I should somehow know it all myself or do it on my own is just so ridiculous, and it blocks the obvious way forward.
Yes, exactly. That's the point of it, isn't it? And as soon as we see that, we get how absurd it is. How would I do that? How would that even be possible? I should know everything already. I should be able to do everything myself. And yet, most people are so deeply conditioned that either you should, and you'll be the right person, or you don't and can't, which makes you the wrong person. And in either case, people give up, right? So the idea, you know, if I want to play soccer, then, you know, I want to get the best coach that I can get, and I want every single thing that I am doing that is not leading to me being a great soccer player, I want the coach pointing that out to me.
Yeah.
Not, you need to be praising me all the time so that I'll feel good about my conditioning. But that's a subtle place you're pointing to, my friend.
Yes, yes. And what I see when you say that, and it's slipping away, but the way is there for us. I mean, it's available.
Yes.
And, you know, with practice today, you know, we have daily support in every way and with all of these phone calls and email classes. And so, and again, that's a metaphor for everything. If I want to be a great soccer player, you know, I want to pursue that. And if I want to wake up and end suffering, then these resources are right here in front of me. And the idea that something is blocking that is just more conditioning, because the evidence is so true that all the support is there.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And to just to continue that, what I'm looking for is every time a voice gets defensive or argues or whatever it is, feels
yes.
bad, has hurt feelings, you know, all that horse bucky that conditioning puts people through, to realize, oh, okay, I see that that is trying to keep me stuck.
Mm. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And with that regular active participation, at this last point I'll make, is that, and with appreciating the practitioner, which is our assignment for today,
yes.
if I stay with that focus and don't go to feeling bad, which we dropped in 2013, as we know, that feeling
mm-hmm.
bad takes time. And it takes time for me to recover from that identification. And that's time
yes.
I never get back. And
yes, exactly.
So if there's a focus
oh.
on participation and support and practice, then we get where we're intending to go quicker and more joyfully.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Michael, I just want to underline that last point that you made, that time spent feeling bad is lost time. Right? Now, time spent being happy, we could say it's lost time, because all time, you know, if we think in those
yes.
terms, then time passes.
Yes, yes.
But do
yes.
you want your time to pass in happiness or in feeling bad? And we begin
yes.
to see what an utter waste for the human being is feeling bad. But it's very, very good for ego. It thrives on it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's
and
good.
Again, yeah, and not to feel bad when I've gone to feeling bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a, oh, don't want to waste time on that.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you,
right.
Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you.
Enjoy. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Michael. Sherry, the line that really just had me reeling, like really dumbstruck, is that thing you said about how we're conditioned to want people to praise our conditioning
yeah.
and feel good about how we're conditioned, as opposed to being able to be in that place where we're absolutely open to seeing everything that we need to see that's beyond our conditioning. And that's not I mean, that's that root place we talk about, where there's the confusion between the mistaken identity piece, that I am
yeah.
what you see is good, rather than those are not related.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That my performance
mm-hmm.
or how I
mm-hmm.
am, if
mm-hmm.
you criticize anything, if you say anything less than absolute approval, then it's taken to mean something about me. And it requires
yes.
us to disidentify from the me in order to be able to be open to life is constantly informing, and it's good information, because that's what I'm here for, or that's what
yes.
my heart desires.
Yes. Yes.
I'm being very articulate.
And so,
I was quite
right.
struck by that process.
Well, and it's twofold, isn't it? So you say something to me that ego deems critical. And so what ego does is go into defensive mode.
Yeah.
Right? And so if I'm identified with the practitioner who is working to wake up and end suffering, then what's going to happen with that, first of all, I'm going to see that all defensiveness is ego. I'm going to be able to recognize that for what it is and learn a lot about one of ego's defenses. And then I'm also, as Michael was indicating, I there's no feeling bad about it. So I'm right here to look at what life is going to offer me about what I was missing in that previous, in that exchange that resulted in the criticism.
Yeah. I think I was talking about this in the email class. I think it was just yesterday. That not everything. So, let's see. If there's something that I don't do that is feeding ego to the detriment of the human being, having that pointed out is a good thing, not a bad thing.
It's sort of the definition of humility, which is not identifying with egocentricity. Because it's not me. That's why I'm able to...
That's exactly right.
Accept that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our next caller. I think we have time for one more. Here we go. Next caller.
All right.
The air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Anna from Seattle.
Well, hello, Anna. What are you seeing?
Hi. Oh, well, I'm seeing, I again didn't work on the assignments every day. And when I do sit down to, you know, catch up on some of the assignments, then, like, I get so many ideas for behavior changes, I think, that I don't know. It's kind of like I can't do them all in one, you know, every day. And then it kind of
Anna, let me ask you this. Are they behavior changes that are actually self-improvement programs?
I think so, maybe, yes. Or it's kind of like, for example, at least sit down for, the language is already ego, for 10 minutes a day and kind of study for something, you know, that I really want to do and that I want to become competent in, something like that. Or then with the work as a nanny, it's basically just things like, you know, find things you're grateful for, and I am. And then all kinds of little other, like, exercises I could be doing to be more present. Yeah. And then life happens, and I fall in love. Yes. And now I'm completely off. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's actually a good example of what I was just talking about, right? So that information, even though it's something that ego is going to try to use to turn into self-hatred, is actually good information. So if you were to make a commitment to a certain time, you know what your life is like. So what is the first moment in your day, most days, when you could sit down with the recorder and with whatever assignment you're looking at, and that could be anything, right? And you make a commitment to doing that. And you make that commitment as a way of watching how you get talked out of it. That could be very helpful.
Did you say just look at anything?
Yeah.
When I want to look or does it have to be about our theme work?
Well, right, it'll be the same thing. It'll be the same thing, right? Because it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
But the point is that you're looking at it with the mentoring rather than with ego. So that's your point. It's Melody, you know, getting up and wanting to get past the voices talking to her in order to get present enough to do what she wants to do. And that's a process that we can do with the recorder, with the mentor. Because it's all going to flow from being here. And, of course, that's what ego is trying to talk you out of.
Yeah.
That hang together?
Yes.
You listen to it again. But here's something else I want to just underline for you. There will be, so you fall in love, okay, just realize that all of that insanity of being in love is going to pass, and you're still going to want to be there for her. So don't lose her in that process. Because if you do, it won't be love. It'll just be an ego scam.
Yes. Yes, I just
you
made
know
a
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That is good.
Away she goes.
Okay.
That's right. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good day.
Oh, what a fabulous conversation, Sherry. And that brings us to the end of the show. And here's our assignment. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance. What an apt assignment for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
Please
you.
Go happy.